are listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
All right, welcome on in to the Fours Up Podcast. It is episode 2. This is Marsh Thomas coming to you live from Idaho. It's great to be back with you guys. And as always, I'm with my boy Jordan Nelson. Jordan, how are we?
I'm doing good, Marsh. How about you?
It's you know, school starting again and kind of just gasping for air. But you know what? I've been looking forward to this for the past few days, and so I'm glad that we can get back to doing this. And so first off, shout out to Jonathan from Twitter for hooking up with the intro outro music and making us sound a little bit more professional, and also just a big shout out and thanks to everyone for listening to the first episode. I know for me, I know that Canes fam is very, very supportive of anything that you know, anyone does, but it was a lot more than I expected, and it meant a lot, man. It meant a lot, you know?
Same, man. I feel exactly the same. It was a hit. We had more views than I was expecting, more downloads, but it just feels good to be appreciated, and, you know, shout out to everyone that listened. Thanks a ton. I appreciate it.
For sure, for sure. And then, let's just get into it, man. Let's just get into it. And so, first off, college football ended last night. LSU winning the national championship. Did you watch that one?
I did. I had some Twitter documented issues trying to watch the game on ESPN Skycast. But
we're
just on the over the field cam the whole time with no commentary. So,
That
is pretty terrible.
That sounds awful. But it was a great game, and. Great, congrats to Ed Orgeron. He's a former Hurricane, former defensive line coach here. And so hats off to him. And, I don't know what kind of football those guys are playing, but it just looks nothing like what the Hurricanes are playing. It was so much fun watching both of those teams go up and down the field. It was like watching a game on crack, man. It was insane. I don't know, it's just insane that, an offense can be that potent against, a team like Clemson and just manage to put up all these points. It kind of just showed me, how far – I know people on Twitter have been saying this so much, but it kind of just showed me, how far Miami is from those teams. I'm not saying that we can get back there, but, man, it's like they were playing a different sport.
I agree completely. Just seeing Ja'Marr Chase, catch those passes and take off with it, I just feel like we haven't seen that kind of athleticism actually on the field for Miami in quite some time, at least consistently. We've had a few guys that can, make highlight plays like that on occasion, but that just, like you said, that kind of felt like a
different humble
animal compared to watching a season of this team for Miami play.
It's just so fun. I love Joe Burrow, but yeah, congrats to them. And, Clemson, they're not going anywhere either. And so, but down in Coral Gables, man, we got a lot going on, man. So first things first, before we get into anything else, we got 13 early enrollees, new Miami Hurricanes coming in, or they're already in, actually. They arrived Sunday and they've already been, they're in classes and they're already at the IPF and Green Tree putting in work. The group is led by quarterback Tyler Van Dyke. So big shout out to them. We're excited to see them grow and see them start compete for jobs. So, first things first we want to get into is offensive line coach. Butch Berry last week was fired. Something that we all kind of saw coming. I know for me, he's a very experienced man. Has been around the NFL, things like that. But it obviously wasn't a good fit. It was just 1 year he spent here in Coral Gables, and we all know the offensive line struggles, man. It's 51 sacks, third most in the nation. We were 120th in running. Just that, and granted. He had to work with some true freshmen, Zion Nelson starting at left tackle, you had Ja'Kai Clark at guard, and, you got John Campbell, the redshirt freshman, going in there a lot, but they were just so bad, man. Like, I don't know how that, like, I'm just saying that it's not a surprise that, Butch Berry was fired, no?
No, it was completely expected, and I think if he wasn't fired, there would have been rioting outside the Hecht Center. You know, it was just, it was a no-brainer. We had to go in a different direction. Kind of like you said, though, we didn't have a ton of talent on the O-line, so, you know, it's... You got to give Stacy Searles some blame as well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it didn't feel like our guys were coached up at all either. So just time to move on. A good opportunity to get a guy who's experienced in spread offense. You know, so those blocking concepts and, you know, just it's going to be nice to have an entirely different product on the field.
No, absolutely. And, you know, and let's introduce him. He's not on the podcast, obviously, but, you know, Garen Justice. Garen? I don't know how you pronounce it, but...
I think it's Garen, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, and it's a funny name. But, yeah, he is the new offensive line coach for your Miami Hurricanes. And, you know, I'll be honest, when I think it was Saturday when the hire took place, and I woke up to text and Twitter DMs, and there everyone was like... You know, who the crap is this guy? I was like, I have no idea. I have no idea. Did you know who he was?
No, I had never heard of him before.
I had no idea who he was. And but in the past few days, I have done some research. You know, Garen Justice, he played his college ball at West Virginia under Rich Rodriguez. He was an All-American offensive tackle. The past 2 years, he's with UNLV. Offensive line coach for both years. And then this past year, he was – also the offensive coordinator. Not a guy that jumps out to you by any means. I mean, no offensive line coaches are going to jump out to you. But this guy just seems like a solid dude. His UNLV, his UNLV offensive line did work this year. Let me pull this up. Yeah, PFF ranked UNLV's offensive line 51st in 2019. And they ranked the Hurricanes 100th. So we're already making strides. And they also...
Considering the talent gap, you know, the type of guys that UNLV is recruiting compared to us, it's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah. Well, and we know, I mean, we're West Coast guys. And so we know the... I'm not saying that the UNLV players are bad, but it's definitely different. They don't have, you know, several four-stars on the offensive line like the Hurricanes do. And so... But yeah, they were 51st in the offensive line, and they're also 21st in run blocking. So, which is incredible, because like I mentioned, we were 120th in rushing. And I just want to rattle off some more stats. He had two offensive linemen this past year that were all Mountain West. Before that, he was at FAU for 2 years, and one of those years was with Coach Lane Kiffin. In 2017, the FAU offensive line allowed just 16 sacks. And let me remind you, we gave up 51 this year. So we're already making strides. That same year, their running back, bro, get this. Their FAU's running back that year, 2017, Devin Singletary, rushed for 1,920 yards.
Wow. That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
He's an NFL talent. Like, he's on, you know, the starting running back for the Buffalo Bills now. But that's amazing any way you cut it. 2,000 yards almost. I mean, that's more than – that's TJ times three, you know?
that's so sad to think about. But, yeah, he also – before that, he was the head coach – for Concord University, which is in West Virginia. It's a D2 school from 2011 to 2015. He had a very good head coaching record. And then he also, something that's interesting and something some Hurricane fans might not take a liking to, he was also a GA at FSU for 2 years under Bobby Bowden, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I dug into was, you know, he played under Rich Rod. If I read correctly, he was actually the captain of that 2006 team that had Steve Slayton and Pat White. You know, they had an amazing year that year. He was the captain. And then after he graduated, he was hired on as a GA under Rich Rod. And then was a GA under Bobby Bowden. And then in 2017, right before Rich Rod got fired, Garen Justice was hired on to the Arizona staff again. And then like a month later, Rich Rod got fired and Sumlin went a different direction. So never actually coached at Arizona during the season. But, I mean, Rich Rod hired him twice, and a lot of people wanted Rich Rod to be our coordinator. So,
yeah. Yeah, and so something I don't know if you read the Manny Navarro article from The Athletic about him, but it talks about it a really great article if you haven't read it yet by Manny Navarro, and it basically just talked about Garen Justice and how he's just a very very player friendly coach. They pulled a few players that had played for him, and they just had amazing things to say about him. He's very family oriented. Him and his wife and his kids, and they're very close to, you know, his offensive line. They're always inviting them over to their house, and it just kind of seems like that's. I mean, it kind of just seems like that's the kind of guy that we need at Miami. Because like Stacey Searles and Butch Berry. I mean, not saying that they're bad guys, but you know, we haven't heard like the greatest things about them, that they were a little bit harder on players. I know Butch Berry. I mean, he's just an NFL guy. He's just more suited to coach professionals. But I mean, all in all, like after reading up on him, I think he's a great hire for Rhett Lashley's offense. Like you said earlier, likes his offense. UNLV ran a no huddle offense this past year, you know, and he's just very, very familiar with high tempo, you know, being with Rich Rod, being with Lane Kiffin. And so, you know, Rhett Lashley knew who his guy was and he got him. And so the offensive line needs a ton of work. I mean, he's going to have his work cut out for him, man.
Yeah. It does need a ton of work, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that plays out. Even if they get good coaching, you know, what's the ceiling there? Just cause there's talent concerns, you know, and depth concerns. The thing that jumped out, and like you, I hadn't heard of him, so I don't want to, you know, like praise this hire too much, because I've only done 3 days worth of research on him. But everything looks so great. I love. I said on the last episode that I really wanted an offensive coordinator and scheme that really featured the rushing game, just because our running backs are always so talented. You know, I feel like our running back room has always been better than our QB room, at least in recent history. Absolutely. And Garen Justice is a guy that specializes in the run game. You know, his offensive linemen are always all conference. They're always pushing huge rushing numbers. You know, they're putting running backs in the NFL. Like, it's exactly what we need, man.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, like I said, I mean, this offensive line, man, it's – I was watching yesterday. I had a few hours, like, in between classes. So I went back and watched the Miami-Virginia Tech game that I was at this past year. And my hell, that offensive, our offensive line, I've forgotten how bad it. We gave up 7 sacks that year, and that's not even the most we gave up like in a single game all year. Like I was at the game against Florida when we gave up 10 sacks. Like, are you?
Oh my gosh, like, man, that Florida game was just
unbelievable. And it's not just Zion Nelson. I mean, it's Donaldson, it's Gaynor, it's everyone. Like, my god, it's so bad.
We did not have a single player that, like, stood out to me. I wouldn't say that any of our O-linemen had a good year. You know, I'm not saying that they all suck, but nobody had a great season for us, you know?
Yeah, and it's hard to, like, look at offensive linemen just, like, individually. You got to look at them as a unit. And it was just so bad. And it just – we can't allow – I mean, because DJ Scaife, I mean – players like DJ Scaife has talent. I mean, Scaife's been starting since he was a freshman. I think that guy can, you know, play in the NFL one day. I mean, I don't know about Zion Nelson. I don't know what direction we're going to go with him, but I love Corey Gaynor. And
Navon Donaldson looked great as a freshman, but, I mean, kind of just dropped off a cliff, you know?
Dropped off a cliff, and and then went up in pounds, dude. I don't know how he's gonna live in Lashley's offense. They may kill him.
Did you see the new official roster for 2020 has him listed at 363 pounds?
Bro, I bless his heart, man. And he's a good player. I mean, solid offensive lineman, but he's gonna figure that out. Yeah, I mean, I'm only, 180, 185, but I couldn't survive in Lashley's offense. You know, I mean, freaking, they're running 60 plays a half, man. Like,
yeah,
we're going to be going up and down like this. But, you know, all in all, I think, you know, good offensive line hire. We definitely need a Butch Berry out of there. And Garen Justice, man, welcome to the U. We're happy to have you. And please, please work some miracles with our with
do
our
something. Board,
please, right. Like,
do something. No, like, more 10 sack games.
Any progress is good progress, because we have nowhere to go but up. But yeah, man, it besides the quarterbacks, offensive line is almost just as important to develop, because that single-handedly, you know, lost a few series, a few plays, and, you know, maybe a few games, man.
Yeah, I think we'll naturally have an upgrade from our offensive line production just by virtue of the scheme that Rhett Lashley is going to run. You know, it's lots of stuff like using motion to isolate receivers onto linebackers and, you know, man coverage type stuff to open up that box right in front of the line. And then also we're going to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands a lot quicker. So I think just by virtue of Rhett Lashley, we'd have improvement anyways, but I'd really like to see, you know, I'd really like to see like Garen Justice and Rhett Lashley be on the same page and just work really well together and just, you know, really kill it this year with scheming for the O-line.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's a great point that you brought up with Rhett Lashley and, you know, his quarterbacks just get the ball out so quickly. It makes the offensive line look good. And so that's something that, you know, we're going to definitely be looking forward to. Moving on, we're going to talk, few players in the transfer portal. I know we touched on it last week, but the biggest name right now, well, there's two really big names, but the name that is, I guess, most invested in Miami right now, defensive end Quincy Roche. Talked about him last time, and if you follow me on Twitter, you know that I am fully on board with bringing him on. I'm a huge Roche fan. I've watched film on him. 13 sacks, 19 tackles for loss at Temple last year. He was the AAC Defensive Player of the Year. Originally he wanted to go to North Carolina. Little situation there, though. They didn't have a spot for him to be an early enrollee. And so they just didn't have a spot. So, I mean, there's a chance that he just waits until summer and goes to North Carolina. But Miami looks like it was that second team. And it was last Thursday, I believe, that reports started coming out that he scheduled the visit for Miami this past weekend, and two crystal ball predictions came out having him 100% to Miami. The weekend came and went for his visit. Supposedly went well. You know, I've heard from several people that it went well. No commitment, though, and right now it's Tuesday night, and Rutgers is pushing really hard to get him to visit. And the longer he takes, the longer Roche takes. He's a Maryland native, by the way, and I've heard that, you know, being homesick is an issue, and he wants to be close to home. And so the longer he waits, I mean, the less confident I am that he comes to Miami.
Yeah, I feel the same with you. I mean, I did see a rumor, I think it was from, like, the Stadium Drive podcast, I think. They posted a rumor that that Roche's not going to be taking a visit to Rutgers. So, I mean, if that's true, that's really great news for us. I really think it's between us and them at this point. I don't have any inside info. It's just, you know, from what I've seen on Twitter, it seems like it's a two-horse race there. And I feel good about it. But like you said, the longer it goes, I don't think that's a good sign for us.
Yeah, and so I'm a little skeptical right now. I keep refreshing Twitter to see if anything happens. I just think, sorry,
let me interject. You're fine. I just need to interject for a little bit. I just want to say, if you're one of those people on Twitter that are saying we don't want Roche because he went to Temple, just stop, please.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
13 sacks is amazing no matter where you play.
Yeah. It's like, what's he supposed to do? Not, like, get those stats? Like,
I know, right?
Like, are you an idiot? Like, thank you for bringing this up because it might freaking spark a few anger.
Oh, my gosh, man. I can't. Nothing has made me hit the mute button faster this week than people that are telling me that Roche isn't a take because he went to Temple.
Bro,
it's like, come on, man.
And it's like and I understand, and a lot of people are saying, like, yeah, like, we have Jalen Phillips and, you know, other defensive linemen to go with Rousseau. But, like, why would you not want to add a player of Roche's, like, caliber? Like, are you crazy?
Exactly. Like who cares about the other guys in the room? What if Rousseau gets hurt? Or what if Phillips, you know, I mean, he has injury history. What if he can't play a full year, you know?
No, I know, man. And if you put him and Rousseau together, that's 28 and a half sacks. 28. Yeah. I'm trying not to curse this episode, but it's like, people are so stupid. Like, you really don't want that on your team? Whatever happened to the Miami that you get the best players possible and you battle it out on Green Street for the starting position?
It doesn't even make sense, man. And, you know, let's say that Jalen Phillips is, like, in fantastic shape and he beat Roche out for the starting job anyways. That's even better, man.
Yeah.
Because then when, you know, we're playing an up-tempo scheme, so our defense is going to be on the field a lot. So when Phillips or Rousseau have to run off the field and take a rest, then we got Roche coming in, you know? Where's the downside?
Did people see, like, how often we rotated our defensive ends? Like, it really doesn't even matter who starts. Like, they're all going to get talent. So I don't get those people. They're idiots. Let's hope that Roche comes here, man. I haven't seen anything too negative, like, you know, the people that I've talked to. But yeah, I've just heard that the longer it takes, then you know, the less confident that Miami feels about it. But he's probably the hottest name that is really invested in Miami. Let's just go to the biggest name right now. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. I've been practicing to pronounce it. De'Eriq King, quarterback. Is it right? How do you pronounce it?
I think it's De'Eriq King, man. I don't know. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right.
From Houston. If you're a college football fan, you know who he is. Freaking superstar the Cougars under freaking Major Applewhite's offense. Let me just read you his 2018 stats. Nearly 3,000 yards passing, 36 touchdowns, 6 picks, 674 rushing yards, and 14 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like
that's as many rushing yards as DJ Dallas had this year.
That's how many. I think we as a team had 15 rushing touchdowns this past year. 15. He had 14 by himself.
Yeah. And then his highlight reel. I mean, the guy is lightning fast and he has breakaway speed. And I mean, the 3,000 yards and 36 passing touchdowns speak for themselves, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, yeah, that was his 2018 stats. 2019, I don't know the whole situation, but I know that he redshirted like a few games into it, and it was kind of debating. Everyone thought he was going to go into the portal, and we were just kind of waiting for the announcement. And finally, last night during the national championship game, he tweeted out that he's entering the portal. And so, I try not to get too caught up in who follows who on Twitter, but yeah, one of the recent people he's been following is Rhett Lashley. And so the dude would be an unbelievable fit for this offense. You know, like I said, he was with Major Applewhite in Houston, and, you know, he runs a similar offense that Lashley does, and, you know, dual threat. He's 5'11", 195, good size. The dude could, I'm saying we go 8-4 next year. If King comes to Miami, I'm bumping that up to 9 or 10 wins. I really do think he's that talented. People know I'm a huge Tate Martell fan. I'm a big N'Kozie Perry fan, and I think those two are gonna one of those two are going to start next year at quarterback. But if King comes, man, like, I think he automatically, you know, becomes the starter.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think he'd be the most talented guy in the room. And I don't think it'd be a very tough decision for Lashley and Manny Diaz to pick him as our starter going into the year. He's just too talented. I mean, dude, his highlight reels, just watch him. Do yourself a favor and hop on YouTube right now and watch some De'Aaron King highlights and just imagine him with a U on his helmet.
Yeah, yeah, and he'd be immediately eligible. And and like I said, I mean, the fact that he has experience in the spread offense and that kind of tempo and those kind of looks, like, it would help so much. Like, I mean, like, look at N'Kozie Perry. This is the third offense he's learning in four, like, Jaren Williams, this is going to be his third offensive coordinator in 3 years at Miami. Like, I know that the talent that these QBs that we currently have, but, like, there's only so many time. Like, you can't keep relearning these things. And if you add a guy that has experience, I mean, it would mean so much. And so, but I mean, I am not getting my hopes up about him. Apparently LSU's looking at him, Arkansas's looking at him hard. But here's the thing, announced today, Joe Brady is going to the Panthers to become their offensive coordinator. You got to wonder what happens, you know, there with LSU, if he still is interested. King going to LSU. And then I heard, I don't know if you saw the same thing, but apparently Felipe Franks, our favorite Gator, is he's checking out Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real, though. I mean, if both guys wanted to go to Arkansas, the coaching staff there would have to be completely out of their minds to take Franks over King, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I am hopeful that the Brady news makes us more of a player. You know, like you said, he follows Rhett Lashley and Lashley follows him. So you have to think that at least some DMs have been exchanged. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, absolutely.
I feel like that's just kind of common sense. If they're following each other, they're probably talking to each other.
And King just is very aware of Lashley's offense because he played at Houston. Lashley was at SMU. Like,
yeah,
knows what Lashley is bringing to Miami. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's been some contact already. But yeah, that's been the big story of the day is King entering the portal. There's another quarterback we're looking at, Anthony Brown from Boston College. A lot of people have been asking me about this lately, and he's been a name that's been circulating, mostly because 247 came out with a report that Brown is he's either, you know, he's looking at Miami and Virginia the closest.
Yeah.
Brown is he's an interesting. I'm not crazy about him, man.
Me neither, honestly.
I'll go over the pros to Brown first. I mean, if you've seen him play, you know that this guy has a rocket for an arm, an absolute cannon. Like, this dude zips it, and we have no quarterbacks on our team that can throw like he can. And Brown is, I think in 2018, he was the best long ball passer in the ACC. The dude can throw it deep, which is another thing that nobody on our roster can do at quarterback. Those are the two biggest things. And he just, you know, he has years of experience. You know, he provides stability, you know, also dual threat. He can run the football a little bit as well. Here's the thing. He's had two season injuries in his career, 2017 and 2019. One was with the knee and I think the other one was like a broken leg or something like that. Awful injuries. And so I'm fine with bringing him in, but not if he's like, if we're promising the starting job, like him and King's situation are completely different.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm with you, man. Nothing really jumps off the page at me when I look at Anthony Brown. Like, I don't know. I'm just not that interested, I guess. Like, if he wants to come here, that's fine. Kind of especially
kind of a meh guy.
Yeah. I mean, especially if we lose a QB to the transfer portal, which I have a feeling that we will probably. Then fine, you know, but like you said, if he better not be like having the starting job promised to him, because there's nothing nothing about him or his career that's made me feel like he should deserve that, you know?
Yeah. And let me just read off his career stats. 4,738 passing yards, 40 touchdowns, 20 picks. Well, here's one thing that does stand out, because I was leering towards the long ball pass. He in 2019, he was averaging 9.1 yards per attempt in 2019. And if you've seen film on Rhett Lashley's offense, they do like to go deep every pretty frequently. And so that is something that, jumps out. But another thing, his career completion percentage is 54.9%.
Yep.
And that's just gross, man. And if, we need a quarterback that's accurate on short to medium passes, that can hit the slant to Mark Pope, hit the slant to D. Wiggins, and, Wiggins on the post. And I don't think any of the Miami fans are too crazy about him, honestly. Just kind of the vibe I'm getting from Twitter. But, yeah, he's been in contact with Rhett Lashley in Miami. So there's no scheduled visits yet, but you never know what can happen, man.
Yeah, he's definitely not the sexy pick, but honestly, like you, I'd rather have Tate or Cozy playing.
Absolutely. And so, and then just rounding out the portal, other guys that we're looking at. I mean, obviously, like we talked about before, offensive line is one of the biggest struggles, and so it's no question that we're looking at offensive linemen. The biggest one, and I've read that we have contacted him, is Devin Cochran, offensive tackle, left tackle from Vanderbilt. 3-year starter, he'd come in, be immediately eligible. I haven't heard, nothing yet that we've scheduled a visit or anything like that. So, but I mean, if anyone from Miami's listening to this, he's someone that we got to get, or just any left tackle. I know that we're looking at Terrence Davis, a guard from Maryland. He signed with Wake Forest today. Guard isn't as big of a concern to me. It's the tackle, man. I know that Zion Nelson improved a little bit. I know that Jalen Rivers is coming in as a highly touted true freshman, and I do think that he's the left tackle of the future. But if we could add
an experience, help everywhere, though.
Absolutely. If we can add an experienced left tackle, you know how much that would do for our offense?
Yeah, dude. It was laughable, so... the offensive line was laughable, so we need any help we can get.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like,
even if we don't, if we aren't able to add any other transfer portal players except for, three offensive linemen, that's successful to me. Like, I'll take anyone who has any amount of skill and wants to play in Miami, I'll take them.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like, I'll just add, just anyone who has experience.
Yeah.
Please. Any
proven track record, please come to Miami. We need you desperately. You can
give our voice. Oh, help us, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right.
That's the biggest thing with the portal. I do think, and maybe we'll talk about this next week, but I think that we need to add a receiver from the transfer portal, maybe even two.
Yeah.
Kobe White from Boston College is someone that I really like, but yeah, we'll talk about him a little bit more next week, and if we hear anything else. Here's the biggest thing that your boy Jordan wanted to get to, and me as well. It's been circulating, the not just Coral Gables and the University of Miami, but the college football world. Barry Jackson posted an article on Sunday in the Miami Herald about the culture of the Hurricanes football program, and correct me if I'm wrong, the drug use?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Hey, Jordan, if go ahead and paraphrase that article to anyone who's listening.
So essentially what Barry Jackson said was he details the culture problems. He talks about there was a player on the team last year that anonymously told all these things to Barry. He said that there's a drug problem in the quarterback room. They said that there's specifically a problem with one player. And then they also said that there's a problem with multiple players on the team that seem more interested in partying than being interested in football.
That's what you want to hear.
Yeah. They did say that, a veteran leader of the team, was out past curfew before the FIU game and still started for us. I think we all know who that is.
A prominent offensive player, as if I'm quoting Barry Jackson.
Yeah, and I mean, just look at my Twitter. We know who it is. We all know who it is.
And then
they talked about how there was an instance earlier this year where Jaren Williams missed practice and then still played the next week. He didn't start. It was I'm assuming it was the
Pitt game.
Yeah, Pitt. Sorry, slipped my mind for a minute. Yeah, it was the Pitt game where Cozy Perry started. Offense was flat. Jaren comes in, throws the game winner right at the end. So they detailed that Jaren had just skipped a practice that week and then was still allowed to play. And, I was so fired up on Saturday. I'm still fired up about it.
It's, if you've been a longtime fan of the Miami Hurricanes, which I have, and you know, Jordan, you've been a fan for a long time too. And, yep. You know, anyone who is listening, you know, you've been supporting the Canes all your life. It pisses you off when you read something like that. I may be wrong, but I think the article said it wasn't just the prominent offensive player, but it was other players as well that were out the night before the FIU game. Like, I'm fine if you party after a win. If you want to hit up Liv, and if you want to, you know, go to South, if you want to go to Basement, all those places in Miami, all those fun places, if you want to go hit up a frat party after a win, be my guest. You know, God bless you. Go ahead. But if you are losing, if reports come out that you are partying the night before the biggest loss that would come to be in the program history, how do you bounce back from that? How do you call yourself a Miami Hurricane?
Well, I mean, especially if you look at the box score, and you could probably pick out the players that were partying the night before. So it's not even like they played okay, you know, like. And to answer your question, you shouldn't be able to call yourself the Miami Hurricane because you shouldn't be on the team anymore.
No.
I mean, I'm not calling for anyone directly to be kicked off the team, but if that's your attitude, I don't care who you are. Like, I don't care if you win the Heisman the year before. If you go out and party and you skip practice and then we lose to FIU because you're not handling yourself, then kick rocks, dude. You know? Yeah. Like, I don't want to lose to FIU anymore, you know?
I don't want to lose. I don't want to freaking talk about this team every single day of my life. And I don't, you know, it's not fair to these season ticket holders that devote so much money to this team. And, you know, you're out just taking advantage of, like, just being in the program. It's like... like, come on, man. Like, you're supposed to be the future of this program. Like, all of you guys. Like, and dude, that article was bad.
Yeah. And you know what pisses me off, man? Like, so we've probably been like following the program intently for about the same time, right? Like, I watched a little bit of like the 2001, 2002 team, but I really didn't get into it until, you know, probably the 2006 season was when I like started to be a diehard fan. And I was really just, you know, all about Miami, you know?
Yeah.
So being a fan for these last 14, 15 years, like, did anything in that article surprise you, or did it just feel like more of the same? Like, I just felt like it was deja vu, you know?
I don't even know, man. It's just like you got to look at it at both ways. I mean, because you're obviously pissed at the players, but like you're pissed at Manny Diaz too. Like, how are those players still on the team? Like, how is there not a strict enforcement of drugs and like?
Yeah, that's a part of the article I forgot to paraphrase for you. It says that players were very aware at how loose the drug policy was at Miami this season, and that they were very happy to take advantage of it. And then it also says that they knew that Manny wouldn't do anything about it. So, I mean,
and this is the guy that we're—I mean, I love Manny. Well, I don't love him anymore. But like, this is the guy that we're entrusting to like bring this program back. Like, really,
yeah.
Like a guy that—and it's not just him. It's the culture of the program. It's everything, man. Like,
yeah,
you can't be the University of Miami and have reports like that come out. Like, and it couldn't have come at a worse time, because I mean, you had a little bit of optimism with the Rhett Lashley hire and the, you know, potential Alonzo Highsmith hire, which we'll get into a little bit, but you had a few things going for you. And then Quincy Roche is taking his visit this past weekend in Miami. And then on Sunday, this bomb goes off.
Yeah.
Like it was just the worst possible timing. And there's just so many questions to be asked. Like, is Manny really fit to be leading this group of young men and leading this program into the future?
I don't know, man.
To where they should be.
Manny, I mean, he's a politician's son, right? Like, on paper, he looks amazing. You know, everything he's done, everything he said, it all looks good. You know, like the Dan Enos hire, we all thought it was good when it happened. Turned out to be a huge flop, and that's fine. Because Manny canned him, and now we have Rhett Lashley, another great hire on paper, right? So everything he does just seems to be the right move. But, I mean, look at the results. You know what I mean? Like, at what point are these right moves on paper actually going to be the right move? And, you know, is Manny able to do that? You know, yeah. I don't know.
And it's not just the results, like, on the field, but off the field, man. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you see, like, on the 30 for 30s, like, I mean, Najee Davenport said that after they beat FSU in 2000, like, they all went to one of the strip clubs in Miami, and they're partying, and Jeremy Shockey saying how he's going to these frat parties. I'm fine if you're going to frat parties and everything. I mean, like, you're in college, enjoy yourself, but you're there to win, man.
Yeah.
Like, you want to leave a legacy. You don't want your legacy to be, yeah, I mean, he was a quarterback here for a few years, but he was the one that was smoking weed and you know partying the night before the greatest loss in the history of the program. And I'm not just singling out a certain quarterback. I'm singling out the leaders of the team. Like, why aren't they busting into this party and saying, "What the hell are you doing here, man? We got." Like, where are check-ins? Like, what? No check-ins? Like, where's the accountability, man? Like, it's not just the players. I mean, it's the leaders on the team. It's the coaches. You can't be running. It can't be Animal House in Coral Gables, man.
I think the biggest, like, we touched on it last week when we were talking about Alonzo and we talked about culture and establishing culture and stuff. The biggest difference between these teams and then the teams of the past that had the swag, the teams that invented swag, you know, is that they worked as hard as they possibly could to win games, and then they had fun, you know. But it started with the hard work. It started with the, you know, running uphill. It started with the running on the beach. It started, you know, making Green Tree the absolute, you know, most difficult place to play on the entire planet. That's what it started with, and then it resulted in winning in frat parties. Yeah. I think our guys, and you know, for the last decade or so, they think that it starts with the frat parties, and then that attitude turns into wins. But it's the other way around, dude. It's the hard work that turns into wins, that turns into fun. It's not the fun turns into wins, you know, and there's no work. You know what I mean?
Braxton Berrios said it best, man. He says, swag is a lot of things, but first of all, swag is winning, man.
Yeah.
Like,
and winning doesn't happen unless you are, oh my gosh, man. Winning does not happen unless you are just killing yourself in practice.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you're competing, like, where's the accountability, man? Where's the leadership? Where is my Ed Reed? Where is my Michael Irvin? Like, where the hell are these guys? Like, I just beg, please, someone step up. A few guys step up.
Yeah.
Like, Brevin, take a hold of this team, dude. Take a hold of this team. Nikosi, take a hold of this team. Like, we can't keep doing this. Like,
yeah.
This program can't keep repeating actions every single year. We're the laughingstock of college football. I mean, freaking, you got Barstool Sports doing podcasts yesterday and mentioning this stupid article. And it's not a stupid article. You know, it's bringing a lot of things to light. And as a fellow journalist, you know, those are the articles that, I mean, you dream of writing. You dream of breaking stories and you know, features like that. But, I mean, when you're at the – there's just so much negativity now towards this program. And it's going to continue for the next few months because, yeah, we got spring practice. But everyone's going to ask, well, I mean, are the players high at practice? Like, what's going on?
Who knows? Well, are they even showing up? Let's start there. Are they showing up? Are they partying all night before? You know, who knows? Who knows what's going on, man? And that's, I mean, I'm with you. I like Manny, but I'm also secretly like Twitter stalking Mario, seeing what's going on up there.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's. You don't think Mario, I mean, you know, Mario saw that article.
Oh yeah.
And you think he was pleased to hear about that? Like, he's at Oregon, but he's got Miami in his heart, man. He's a hurricane. I had people that don't even like watch this team say, what is happening? And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm not surprised. Like, No
one's surprised, man. That's what sucks so bad about it, is nobody's surprised, you know?
Yeah. And people, like college football fans around the country, it's like they're more used to reading stories like that than reading things like Hurricanes in the top 10, Hurricanes in the top 5, yeah. Hurricanes in the ACC championship game. Our off-the-field crap is outweighing heavily just what we do on the field, man. I mean, just think about the problems that we've had just in the past year. You got Jaron being suspended. You got Jeff Thomas's situation. You got DJ Ivy being suspended.
Cozy got suspended.
Yeah, you know? Cozy got suspended. And, man, it's just like you want to be proud of especially for me being from South Florida. The Hurricanes just aren't my team. They're my hometown team. Like, you want to be proud of your hometown team, man. Like, I wear Hurricane stuff all around campus, and I'm going to school in Idaho, and people just kind of like, we don't talk about like us winning. We talk about like all the crap that's happening, man. And,
oh yeah.
And hopefully that article, and I'm going to say it. I hope it's a kick in the ass, man. Like,
yeah,
spring. I mean, you got this semester starting at spring practice, right? You got workouts, coming up to like, players on the team, like, right the ship. Like, these 2020 kids coming in, do something, change this. We want Miami to be back, but it's not going to be back when we're partying the night before the FIU game and we're not making curfew and we don't care at practice, like, for our bowl game. Like,
yep.
To
show you the state of the program right now, which is, I mean, it's incredible if you really sit down and think about this. But how many people on Twitter have you seen recently that are, like, wondering what would have happened if Al Golden would have hired a better defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
I see that at least 4 or 5 times a day on my Twitter feed. And, like, if that doesn't show – with how many people disliked Al Golden here, if that doesn't show you where our program is from a fan base,
exactly,
you know, point of view – that everyone is like, you know, where would we be if Al just hired a guy like Manny to take over the defense, you know?
Yeah. And
honestly, we're probably in a lot better position than we are now. We're being real.
Yeah. I mean, what would have happened, like, if Blake James takes more than just a few hours to find a new head coach after Mark Richt retires? Like, what happens if we bring in Mario Cristobal for an interview? Like, what would have happened? But it's just a really crappy situation, and I'm not putting all the blame on the kids. I'm not putting all the blame on Manny Diaz, and I get pissed at people. I got pissed at people the other day because so many people just were letting the kids slide, and I understand it all starts with, you know, the guys up top, but
Yeah.
Like, you really need your head coach to tell you that you shouldn't be partying the night before a game? Like, are you like, if I was out past 7 or 8 p.m. the night before, like a middle school basketball game, my dad would have chewed me out. Like,
yeah,
like, where's the discipline? There's no discipline, man. And that's what pisses me off, just because, like, I know discipline and I know what a well-run program is supposed to look like. You look at things like Clemson, LSU, like, you don't have these articles coming out. Like, you can't just blame the coaches, man. Like, these players, they're not in high school anymore. They're adults. You know, you get to college, you're an adult.
Even a high schooler knows that you can't miss practice.
Yes.
You know, they know that you can't go out and party before the game. They know that you can't play if you're smoking weed. You know what I mean? Like, they, even 15-year-olds know this stuff. Like, I'm with you. Like, the accountability goes to both people. You know, Manny should be kicking these guys off the team for stupid stuff like this. But at the same time, they don't get their hand held. You know, I'm not supportive at all of Manny being a hand holder and a babysitter on this team.
No.
If you don't know that breaking curfew and partying the night before FIU and then losing is a bad thing, then, dude, go back to middle school or elementary school or whatever.
Or go play for another school. Leave the program.
Yeah.
Like, I'll see take
on last
I'll,
chance I'll, you.
Yeah, dude, give me Jimmy Murphy. Give me those guys. Like, give me guys like Braxton Berrios. Like, freaking, like.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like, yeah, that.
Gabe
that,
Taylor, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Give that kid a Scully.
Yeah, that's a whole nother situation. but yeah, and one of the things that that I think would help with this, and we're transitioning, is hiring Alonzo Highsmith. It's Tuesday night. He's still not hired. It came out. What was it? When was it the original article that came out that he wasn't getting hired? How long ago was that? Was that after our first episode or before?
Dude, I don't even know. There's been so many ups and downs with Highsmith.
Well, everyone knows what we're talking about, but I mean, like, the day after, it said that Blake James and Highsmith are talking, and apparently it's like, it's went well. It's a done deal, but why isn't it done? I mean, like, what are you waiting for? Like, does Alonzo want more money? Give him more money.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Like, you know how
the rumor is that there's a booster that said that he'll pay the first 2 years of Alonzo's salary, like, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
So, like if money's the hang up,
like, yeah,
we have the money, you know? It's already been pledged.
Yeah. We have the money. We're just not willing to spend the money. And sometimes in college football and sometimes in sports, when you're at a desperate state, when you suck, when you've had one 10-win season since 2003, sometimes it pays to pay more money. Like, sometimes you have to make the hard decision and pay him more money. Like, even if it doesn't work out, go just try it. Just risk it. Like, at least show that you're trying, that you're bringing him on, because you can't tell me that with Alonzo's ties to the program and experience in the front office in the NFL and as a successful, executive in the NFL, like, you're going to tell me that's a bad move? Like, there's you're no not willing to pay him just maybe a few hundred more thousand dollars? Like, really? Come on. Be a man, Blake James. Like, you silly, silly clown. Like, I'm so done with this, bro. Like, if this doesn't happen for the second time, I will lose my mind, because I have had so many people say, yeah, it's a done deal. And, you know, there's people posting on these websites saying, yeah, it's a done deal. And I at this point, I do think it's going to happen. And we never know. It could be announced like in 30 seconds. It could be announced like 1 minute. It could be like, it could very well be announced tomorrow or the next day. But if it doesn't, we all saw, you know, the outlash on Blake James and the program after they couldn't do it the first time. Could you imagine the hell that would break loose if they didn't hire him, if they went 0-2 on this? Like,
it would not be good.
No.
And like you're saying, Manny and Blake James just need to start throwing Hail Marys, man, because they are both on a very, very, very hot seat right now.
Yeah.
So my hunch is that this Alonso thing is getting tied up, not because of money, but because of power and pride. I don't know if it's Manny or Blake, you know, that is afraid of Alonso ending their job. You know, I don't know if it's Manny being afraid that Alonso is going to have the power to fire him and will, or if it's, you know, that Blake James is worried that, you know, Alonso does good and then is his replacement. I don't know what it is, but I feel like it's something along those lines. But guys, just start throwing Hail Marys, because unless we have a 9-win season next year, both of them are fired. They're both gone. Manny gets fired, Blake is gone too. I would bet money on that.
I mean, and I've heard people say that even if Manny does stick around, like Blake won't last another year. And so,
yeah,
if they don't win 9 games, especially with how weak that schedule is, man, like you can't win 9 games. Yeah, Manny's far gone. I'm not expecting it. I keep saying 8-4. And it's not even like the fact like Alonso is just such a high class guy and just has so much experience. Like we talked about this last time, like he's with his job, like he goes around to these different colleges and he sees how well run programs are run. Like they know, he knows what goes into the day-to-day operations of an Alabama, of an LSU, of a Clemson. Like Manny needs help. Like
he does.
And what
he clearly does.
Yeah. And you can't just, and then what, Rhett Lashley isn't going to be your saving grace. You need more. Like you, I mean, and Miami fans have had it. Like, yeah, we were excited about the Rhett Lashley hire, but like, as soon as we heard that Alonso is like kind of iffy, like we're right back to being pissed off because we know that the Lashley hire alone will not save him and will not save this program. And so
it's not going to fix the culture, you know,
get it done.
Yeah. Even if Lashley's offense and his schemes are great, if our QBs are doing drugs and out partying the night before, they're not going to be able to run Lashley's system. They're not going to be able to do anything.
We're going
to
be too.
So it won't matter.
Oh man, it's
you know, if we got guys that are dreaming about being Florida Gators all season, Lashley won't matter.
Dreaming about being a Florida Gator I'm still pissed, dude. Off that line.
Ugh, I threw up in my mouth when I read that.
Yeah, it's
like that's fine, you know.
get out.
I don't blame Lingard for transferring. You know, it kind of seemed like he got a raw deal here. And, you know, like, you only have a few years to have a college career. So, like, good for him transferring. But that tweet, dude, saying that while you were on the Miami Hurricanes roster, you were dreaming about being on their rivals team. Oh, gag me, dude. And then our players are like, oh, yeah, dude, so cool, you know, like, support my brother. And, dude, Cam Harris was the only one that I walked away from that whole situation from and gained respect for.
Oh,
I love it, you know.
After that, dude, I mean, I already loved him, but, like,
yeah,
I loved him, bro. That guy's a hurricane. Like,
right?
That's the
attitude.
That guy could have played in the 80s. That guy could have played on the 01 team. Like, yeah. Give me more of that. Like, I just want pride. Like, I want pride in the program. And that's why I'm so excited about this 2020 class, man. Like, you got guys like Xavier Restrepo and all these boys, Tyler Van Dyke, Michael Redding, and you got 13 early enrollees. You know how, like we have this article come out and everything, but in the meanwhile, we have 13 kids graduating high school early and coming to college to, you know, start their college football careers at Miami. Like, I think we had one or two early enrollees last year. Like,
yeah,
we have 13 this year coming off a 6-7 season with all this negativity. And we got all these
Manny's
guys.
Right, dude. Manny said this class was full of the type of Canes that, you know, that we want to see. He called them true Canes, you know?
Absolutely, dude. You get guys like Corey Flagg and Tyreek Austin Cave and Restrepo and, you know, Jalen Rivers and Chance Williams. And I love this class. I know a lot of people were complaining and whining about it. I'm like, what? I love this class. Like, you got Tyler Van Dyke, who will be the future of the program. I don't like, yeah. He is the future. Like, that man looks like he's 25 already. But I'm
plenty of talent. We have plenty of talent. I was looking at a chart that showed, like, you know, recruiting stars over the years and how our roster broke down. So we're back up to, like, 38 4-stars on the team this year or something like that. And that's the most we've had since, like, 2006, dude.
The blue chip ratio. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have plenty of talent. We need to worry about attitude now.
Yeah.
Because
it's all about
talent with a loser attitude is a loser team.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, lesser talent with a great attitude is a winning team.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. And so, okay. And yeah, we could go off on all day about that. Okay. And so before we started recording, I just put out on Twitter any questions you have. And most of the questions were, you know, about things that we've already talked about. But I did pull a couple. First one comes from Ricky, to Prince Ricky, my boy Ricky. He's a good man. If you're not following him already, he's a good dude. He's part of the Storm Surge podcast. He love Ricky. He's a good man. And he asked, right along what we're talking about, how good do you think TVD Tyler Van Dyke can be? Right, and you can go first, Jordan.
Man, I think the sky's the limit. You know, like, he has all the tools. He has a good arm. He's 6'4". He looks like a grown man. You know, I don't know if you saw that picture of him the day that he got to campus standing next to Rhett Lashley.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like he's 26 from the back, you know? Like, he looks like a full-grown man. And big arm, big frame. Sky's the limit, you know? He's talented, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love Tyler Van Dyke. When he committed, when we landed him in recruiting, I was so pumped up. And a lot of people like, oh, he's from Connecticut. How good could he be? If you watch his film, man, that guy is good. He can throw on the run. The thing that sticks out the most to me, it's not even his on-field attributes. It's how he carries himself.
Yeah,
he just reminds me a lot of Brad Kaya and how Kaya was so mature when he came to Miami. I mean, obviously, he started as a true freshman, and Van Dyke just reminds me of he was a three-sport athlete in high school, and I really do think that he can be, like, wins-wise, I don't know if he could be like a Ken Dorsey kind of a guy, but talent-wise, I see him being like that, man. Just, I see him being a very, a great quarterback at the University of Miami. I think he's going to fit in Rhett Lashley's offense. Especially that they're both coming into Miami at the same time, Van Dyke and Lashley. I've been telling people this. I don't know if I don't think he'll start as a true freshman. I really don't. Like I said, I think it's going to be Nicosi or Tate, but get him in there, get him in the system and get him learning the playbook. Year two, he will be our starter. This kid has, this is the kind of kid that that a program wants, that a head coach wants. You know, a leader, someone who's accountable, someone who will hold himself accountable, and someone who's a winner. I mean, he won the state championship this past year. And just the fact that he's coming in early with 12 of his teammates, his new teammates, like, and that they're already, I mean, Sunday night, the first day that they got there, they were already out on Green Tree throwing routes for Restrepo and Redding and, you know, Daz. I love it, man. That made me, I wanted to tear up. I was so happy. Like, that's all you want, man. You just want a kid to come in there and bust his tail. And Van Dyke is that kind of guy. I think we've been waiting for a quarterback like this, just of his stature, for a long, long time. I know Jaron Williams was a better recruit. I know, you know, Nicosi Perry is talented. I know Tate Martell, and I know, you know, Rozier won games. But Van Dyke just has there's something different about him, and what's so different is the off the field things, just how he carries himself. And so answering to Ricky, I mean, I think Tyler Van Dyke can be kind of what Jordan said, the sky's the limit for him in the University of Miami. I think he's the kind of guy that you go into a season and saying, oh, Van Dyke's the quarterback. Oh, you know, 10, 11 wins. Like, we're going to Charlotte to play Clemson. And he's the kind of guy that will right the ship. So
I agree.
Yeah, love him. Love the question. And okay, next question and last question. It's from @Brody_Hammy. It says, who do you see having a breakout season on offense or defense? You go first.
Okay, so on offense, I have talked about this a little bit so far. My breakout guy is D. Wiggins.
You can't steal my answer, bro.
I'm sorry, man. I said it on Twitter this week that I thought he'd be staring down a 1,000-yard season in Lashley's offense. I mean, he should, right? Because to me, he showed the most potential out of any of our wide receivers last season. And even his freshman season, I felt the same way, you know? He's been a really good contributor when we weren't expecting him to early in his career. And, you know, he has a great body. He has all the physical tools. I'm just, man, I'd be a little bit disappointed if he's not at least at like 850, 900 yards this season or more. I really think he can go for 1,000.
I'm the same way. I've been a D. Wiggins. I've been a D. Wiggins fan since he signed here, man. And I've been a fan since he was a freshman. And talking to the, and you know, a lot of people know that I write for the State of the U, and I covered fall camp last year, and I was there with them at Media Day last year, and that's where you get to talk to all the players. And one of the guys, Wiggins, almost more than anyone, man, just impressed me so much. Like, he just kind of like what I was saying with other players, just the way he carries himself. He's a very he's a very driven guy. It looks like he's gotten over. He had a few drops his freshman season. Looks like he's gotten over that. But dude, I really do think that he is I think he's going to be our best receiver next year. People don't realize how fast that dude is. I think Wiggins ran the fastest 40 last year out of anyone when they timed it. But I like Mark Pope. I'm still waiting to see about him. I like Mike Harley. He's a good slot guy. I think he'll do well in Lashley's offense. But yeah, Wiggins, with his size and his speed, dude, there's no reason that he can't have 8 touchdowns, 800 to 1,000 yards, 60, 70 catches. I mean, if you look at SMU's offense last year, Rhett Lashley, if he likes something, he keeps going with it. I mean, one guy had over 110 catches or something like that. And I think Wiggins can be that guy, man. His speed is ridiculous. Like, it is insane. He's my guy. And then on defense, that's a good question.
This one is tougher. Defense is tougher. I don't know how the linebacking core is going to shake out. I'm tempted to go with Al Blades or Bubba Bolden. I think I'm going to go with Al Blades. Okay. I really think that I'm hopeful that by mid-season, you know, he's really solidified himself as our shutdown corner, you know?
Yeah. No, I love Al Blades. I mean, I think people don't understand how solid he was this year. You go back and look at the film when they played Virginia, Blades was great. And then Ivy got to, you know, he started improving at the years. And I think our cornerbacks will be a lot better than people think next year. Yeah. My breakout player next year on defense, I kind of have two. I'm going to say Gervin Hall and Sam Brooks. I love Gervin Hall. And Cam Underwood from the State of the U, he got me hooked on Gervin Hall. And the dude is, I think, the next great University of Miami safety. People gave him so much crap this past year, Gervin, because of missed assignments and everything. But it was his first year starting. Yeah, he definitely made some mistakes. But he has so much talent, man. I think he can really be that next great safety. I think him and Bubba Bolden can end up being, one of the best safety duos in America. Cause I think both of them still have 2 years of eligibility left. So I'm very excited about that. And then Sam Brooks, did he redshirt this year or will he be a sophomore next season?
I don't know. I think he redshirted unless they had him playing special teams, but
yeah. Yeah, and I
why think we played that one walk-on dude was because we didn't want to burn Brooks' redshirt. Yeah,
Ryan Rigatoni, whatever his name was. But I know I'm a big fan of Brooks. I think there were so many people on Twitter talking about him, like there's something to it. Like, I've seen him in practice. He's a physical guy. He has speed for a linebacker. You know, he learned a lot from Michael Pickney and Shaq Quarterman this past year. Line him up, start him and Zach McLeod next year, and, you know, let him lead that defense and be that next Miami linebacker, man. And so a lot of people are concerned about our defense next year. I don't know why. I've never had to be concerned about Miami defense before. That's not in my vocabulary. Like, I know that, okay, maybe the few years that Golden's guy was defensive coordinator. But other than that, yeah. Like, I've always – hold on, my fire alarm's going off. Oh, my gosh.
Well, let's end it there, Marsh. I hope everything goes well, bro.
Oh, yeah, we'll end it there. Have a good one, everyone.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to like and leave a comment to help our podcast grow. Follow me on Twitter @Hurricane.